We now read the story of the resurrection as we find it in Matthew's gospel. Now, after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." Let us pray. Gracious God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, to me, the most authentic note about the resurrection stories as we find them in the Gospels is just how chaotic and confused they all appear to be. I mean, if I was going to write the story, it would have been a lot more straightforward, and Jesus would appear to the chief priest and said, "See, I told you," and he would have gone to Herod, and you know, we would have done it a lot better. And all the stories in the gospel, they differ on details about who saw Jesus when, how many angels there were at the tomb, and so on. And it's like in all the stories, there's this sense of people just running around trying to do their best to come to grips with something impossible having become possible. And they're mostly just scared out of their wits as they attempt to do so. So much so that when you read all the stories together, you see that it is fear rather than rejoicing that is the dominant emotion of those resurrection stories. And accordingly, the dominant message of the resurrection stories is simply this: be not afraid. The disciples, for example, the disciples. Well, they were carrying around one very particular reason to be afraid of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And namely, it was their conduct that had led up to his crucifixion. They could not have behaved worse if they have tried. Jesus, remember, washed their feet as an example of servanthood. You remember what happened next? They got into a fight over who was going to be number one in the kingdom of heaven. Shabby little quarrel. In the garden, simple request. He says, "Can you stay awake with me? Keep watch while I pray." And what do? They all go to sleep. And then when Jesus is arrested and tried and crucified, they are gone. They are nowhere to be seen, having fled away in fear for their own safety. And above all of these failings, there's Peter. Remember, Peter had sworn to Jesus he would never abandon him, never deny him. He would even go to the cross with him. And we know how all of that turned out. So the disciples had reason to be afraid of Jesus raised from the dead. If Jesus was still dead and buried, then perhaps all of their failings toward him might stay buried with him. And they could just put it in the past and go back to their fishing nets or whatever, as if nothing had happened. But if he's risen from the dead, then all that past business is still out there waiting to be accounted for, still to be dealt with. And what might the risen Jesus say? What might he do in light of their failure in regard to him when he needed them most? Well, we all have a checkered past, like the disciples, you and me, and the Bible says every human being ever. Paul, and we've been reading in Acts about some of the things Paul's been up to. Paul speaks of the things he had done that he should never have done. And then things that he didn't do that he really should have done. And one gets the sense reading that in his letter to the Romans that it's something that haunts him, this past. And we all have lists like that also. But I think what is in the past that haunts us most is the personal matters. It's the hurts we inflicted upon other people. And the hurts that were inflicted upon us. All those failures in love. Failures in loyalty. Our failures to be for those closest to us what we most wanted to be for them and what they most needed us to be. Words we've spoken that we cannot now take back. And the words we left unsaid that are now too late to speak. Understandings that came too late, which might have tempered our judgments about others had we known back then. Memories, moments that found us too quick to assume the worst about someone else. Or too ready to put ourselves in front of somebody else. And all of that woundedness haunting us. All that woundedness, something we are carrying around from out of the past. So do not we, like the disciples, have much to fear from any honest reckoning with our past? A fear intensified by the fact that we cannot now undo what we have done. We can't go back and get it right this time. But Jesus, risen from the dead, quickly puts the disciples' fear of the past, as well as our own fears from out of our past. He quickly puts all of our fears about the past to rest. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid, he says to his disciples on that Easter day. And he says it to us anew this Easter day. Do not be afraid. And it very quickly becomes apparent to the disciples that Jesus has not risen from the dead in order to settle scores with them. But rather that his rising from the dead is the confirmation of what that death on Good Friday was really all about. That Jesus had taken upon himself the past. Theirs and ours and everybody else's. The sins of the whole world upon his shoulders. Jesus himself taking upon himself our past so that it could be forgiven. So that it could be wiped clean. So that it could be healed by the workings of his mercy. And nowhere is this more true, more obvious and more reassuring than in Jesus' resurrection encounter with Peter in John's gospel. In fact, Jesus specifically seeks out Peter because of what has happened in the past. Jesus, knowing that Peter of all the disciples was the one most afraid because of his failures. So Jesus takes Peter off to the side and proceeds to ask him three times the same question. Peter, do you love me? And each time Peter says, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Except on the third time, Peter finally understands what Jesus is doing and he breaks down in tears. Three questions. Because there have been three denials on the night of Jesus' arrest. But those tears, you see, they're not tears of guilt. Like he wept after the cock crowed. This time they're tears of relief and of joy. Because Peter understands that what Jesus is doing with those three questions is not condemning him, but forgiving him. Releasing him from his guilt, unshackling him from the chains of his own conscience. Wiping the slate clean. Do not be afraid of what has happened in the past. Jesus is telling Peter, telling his disciples in that moment. And it's what he tells us still today. Do not be afraid of what has happened in the past. Because the resurrection of Jesus means we are truly and eternally forgiven. Forgiven. Set free of everything that haunts us. Everything from out of the past that hurts us. Constrains us, deforms us. It means that there really and truly is, as Paul puts it after his own reckoning with his own past, that there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Be not afraid. There's a second form of Easter fear, resurrection stories. If the disciples had reason to fear the risen Jesus because of the past, the women who were the first to lay eyes upon him on that day faced a fear that was centered in the present. I mean, they go to the tomb expecting nothing more than a dead body. They go to the tomb early in the morning, oils and spices for a proper burial. Only worry is who's going to get that stone rolled away from the tomb. And then they get there and the stone is rolled back. The tomb is empty and there's an angel standing there greeting them. And they're terrified. Terrified. They are told that Jesus is risen, but that really doesn't help. Their fear's not removed even when they begin to see the resurrected Jesus. In great part because there's such a strangeness, such a hiddenness in his appearing. They don't recognize him. I mean, Mary thinks he's the gardener. And then they do recognize him. It's almost like he's there and he's yet not there. That his body is earthly enough that he can eat and drink. But at the same time, unearthly. He passes through locked doors and enters sealed rooms. And all along, you sense this question springing out of that fear and that excitement. Is it really him? Is he really here? Is he really alive? Is he actually standing in front of us in this present moment? Could it really be true? And the strangeness and uncertainty and hiddenness of these resurrection appearances of Jesus point, I think, to a particular fear that lurks in our heads in this present moment. Is Jesus really here with us? Like he promised. He said, I am with you always to the end of the age. But there is still for us this strangeness and uncertainty and hiddenness in our own encounters with the risen Jesus. I mean, sometimes we're sure he is with us. We feel him near. There are brief moments when we feel his presence intensely. But then there are these long stretches when we're not so sure. Like the women wondering if his presence with us is real or just something maybe we're imagining. And wondering why, if he is here as he promised, he doesn't make his presence more obvious to us. And yet, I think it's the very strangeness and uncertainty and hiddenness of his resurrection appearances to the women which provide the strongest assurance to us in this present moment that he really is here with us. Because if he was really there with the women standing before them, whether they recognized him clearly or not, then we can be assured he is here with us now, just as he promised, whether we clearly recognize him or not. And further, if the women who saw him face to face on that day still seem to struggle to recognize him, then we should neither be surprised nor despairing when we encounter that same struggle in our present moment to recognize him. But again, the reassurance is he was with them then. We can be assured he is with us now and always. I mean, if death cannot keep him from us, nothing ever could. And also, as it was with the women, if the risen Jesus really is with us in this present moment, then in this present moment, we need not be afraid. I mean, what fears are rattling around in our heads this morning? Jesus keeps saying to the women, do not be afraid. I'm really here. Don't be afraid. And the women's fear quickly turns to rejoicing as they recognize him. And in the same way, our fears, whatever they may be in this moment, can be turned by his presence with us into a foundation for joy. Henry Nouwen, that wonderful writer on the Christian life, has a story that I think illuminates this. It's maybe sideways, but it illuminates it. He was attending a bar mitzvah in a New York City synagogue. And he writes, a young man, 13 years old, was declared an adult by his congregation. For the first time, he gave leadership to the service. He read from the book of Genesis, gave a short sermon about the importance for caring for our environment. He was affirmed by the rabbi and his friends and blessed by his parents. And it was the first time I had witnessed a bar mitzvah, and I was deeply moved, most of all, by the blessing of the parents. I can still hear the father saying, "Son, whatever will happen to you in your life, whether you will have success or not, become important or not, will be healthy or not, always remember how much your mother and I love you." And when he said this in front of the congregation, looking gently at the boy standing before him, tears came to my eyes. And I thought, what a grace such a blessing is. And now one adds this profound insight. He says, "I'm increasingly aware of how much we fearful, anxious, insecure human beings are in need of such a blessing." But you see, that's what the presence of the risen Christ with us now means for us. And imparts to us in this present moment, in light of all our fears, a blessing. His blessing. "Do not be afraid," he says to the women. "Do not be afraid," he is saying also to us. "I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And no matter what should come, remember, I'm with you. Always remember, no matter what should come, how much I love you." The resurrection means he's really with us in this present moment, among all of our present moment fears, and he's not going to leave our side. The resurrection means his blessing of love for each and every one of us is every moment being spoken over us. And even if it's difficult to see, may it be an ever-present truth in which our spirits take comfort, find strength, and continually rejoice. And of course, there's one last fear in the Easter story, the big one. The fear of death. On Good Friday, Jesus really was dead. He was not sort of dead. He was dead. Crucified, dead, and buried, as the Creed puts it. Which is a way of saying dead the way we will one day be dead and buried. And what then? I mean, that's the real question. The great fear of death. It's not just how we're going to die and when we're going to die. The greater question, the greater fear is what then? Jesus had been taken down from that cross. He'd been placed in the tomb. A great stone rolled across the entrance. He was dead. Everyone who had seen him knew he was dead. And dead is dead, right? End of the story. Except that on the third day, God raised him up into life once more. And death, our death, was in that moment defeated. Death, our death, was in that moment overcome. And not just once in the case of Jesus, but for all of us and forevermore. Death, our death, it no longer needs to be feared. Because as Jesus Christ is risen today, so shall we be raised up on the day of our own death, that future day. Fear not. Fear not, he says to us this morning. In John's revelation, he says, fear not, I am the first and the last, the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death. Death. Our death. That great fear which stalks our future is to be feared no longer. Because our death, when it comes, it also will be swallowed up in his victory. And we, like him, shall be raised up to live forevermore. From the 4th century mystic Macrina the Younger comes this beautiful prayer. You free us from the dread of death and make this life a door. You open the way to resurrection, shattering the gates of hell. You slay the one who held death's power. Give comfort to those who honor you. You give the holy cross by which our enemy is slain and by which our life returns to us abundantly. You free us from the dread of death and make this life a door. I don't know. You don't know. And the Bible doesn't tell us much about what it's going to be like actually to die. We're only going to know when we go through it. But this much we can know now. And this, the Bible tells us over and over again, that when we die, it will be with him beside us. That when we die, it will be into his arms. That when we die, we shall hear him calling us by name, saying to us on the other side of death, beloved child, arise. Arise and live. Arise and enter the place I have prepared for you. Arrive and receive the life, the joy, the peace that will be without end. You free us from the dread of death and make this life a door. Be not afraid, says Jesus, of what is to come. There was so much fear on that first Easter morning. But it wasn't long before all the fears of the women and the disciples were set aside. In that very moment when Jesus spoke to the women and to the disciples saying, do not be afraid. And the fear turned into joy. The very same words he speaks to us this Easter morning, as we gather before him this day with all of our fears, past, of the present, of the future. He is speaking to us those same words still. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Because Jesus Christ really is risen today. Do not be afraid, because even now, he is taking our fears, turning them into faith, and transforming them into joy. Amen.